And now it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes!
All right, welcome into the Bullpen Podcast. Here is a branch of Aggie Radio. Just to get you guys going, we're going to have news in about a couple minutes here. In about 10 minutes, we'll do our Wall of Shame. In about 20 minutes, we'll skip up to our Doomsday Scenario of the Week. In half an hour, we will be previewing This Week in College Football. And about 10, 15 minutes after that, we will preview This Week in the NFL and also season predictions. So it's going to be a pretty good show, and excited to see where this goes. What do you think, Evan?
I'm excited. I like it. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, we're actually recording at my apartment, so that's different.
The super secret location.
It's classified.
Yeah, it's very classified.
And if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Yeah. I was blindfolded and brought in the back of an army truck and dumped off right here. So
yeah, I mean, don't try to find it because you won't.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to move into some news stories right now. I'm going to let Evan take lead because I know he has some special news. Or at least news. Maybe yeah. It's not special.
Well, I mean, it's kind of controversial. It's kind of on the national anthem deal that's been going on lately. John Tortorella, coach of Team USA for the upcoming World Cup of Hockey, was telling ESPN that if any of his players sit during the national anthem, they will sit the rest of the game. He was very adamant about that, wasn't backing off from those comments, and insisted that that was the team policy. So obviously I think it strikes really near to him. He's had a son who's served in Afghanistan. But just kind of the latest chapter in the ongoing, debate. I don't know if you want to call it that, but just about standing for the national anthem. So
yeah, and I think I've made it clear in the past that I don't think it's correct to sit for the national anthem. I know it is your right to not to. And with the NFL, they don't have the policy that says you have to stand for the national anthem. They do have that in the NBA. And I was listening to some people on ESPN talking about how they didn't like him saying that. Stephen A. Smith in particular says that he should resign because it's not like Team USA Hockey is like a private entity that you can control what people do. And yeah. For me, it's like even more so like when you're representing the country, you should be standing for the thing. If you don't want to put your hand on your heart, you know, that's your prerogative, whatever. But when you're a member of the national team, to me it doesn't make sense to not stand.
Yeah, because I mean you're wearing, you know, Team USA pretty much printed on your jersey. So I mean, I think it'd be kind of weird not to stand when it's pretty much on your shirt anyway. But yeah, and I mean, you know, like I said earlier, he has a son who's been in Afghanistan, and you know, he was basically saying how even for all its problems, we still do live in a, you know, really great country. And so to have the chance to play for your national team is also a privilege, too. So,
yeah, and it's kind of a similar thing with, what's her name, Rapinoe?
Yeah.
Whatever her name is. She's a women's soccer player, and she's been taking a knee during the national anthem last couple times, I guess, or something, in support of, I guess, Colin Kaepernick or whatever. It's another one of those cases where if you're representing the national team, I think that you have to, if you're representing the team, you should show kind of your pride in the country that you're representing, because if not, why are you there?
Yeah, it just makes no sense. I mean, you know, if you're going to have it pretty much advertised on your shirt, you know, it seems kind of odd to pick and choose after that, but
And so, I mean, I think that the coach for the U.S. hockey team, like, I mean, I agree with him, I think, because you are representing the country, you should respect your national anthem and your flag. You should also respect other countries as well. One thing that I really liked was Usain Bolt one time, the last Olympics, I think it was, not just barely in Rio, but the one before that, he was doing an interview and he heard the national anthem start playing and he said, hold on, hold on. And he put his hand on his heart and was paying attention during our national anthem. And he's from Jamaica. So, I mean, I think it's important to show respect for every country's national anthem, not just ours, but I mean, definitely ours because that's where you live. And I mean, if you don't like it, why? I mean, yeah, there's some things that our country needs to fix, but you know, it's still us. It's still our country. And yeah, we need to make changes for sure. But
and it is the, you know, the only one we've got. So I mean, got to make do with the country you have. So
for sure, for sure. And going to another Olympics connection, Ryan Lochte has been handed a 10-month ban for his actions in Rio. So that was interesting to say the least. I mean, I wasn't surprised by it because of all the stuff that went down. The U.S. Olympic team, I think, was just banned him for 10 months. So, yeah, the United States Olympic Committee and USA Swimming banned him.
Making a good call, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just for fooling around when you're, you know, at the Olympics. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because you represented the country badly and you also disrespected the host country because you falsely reported a crime and you're basically avoiding the consequences of doing that because they're not going to go back to Rio just to be tried or be a part of the process, whatever. But yeah, I think it's deserved for sure.
Yeah. Lie's a lie. So.
So yeah, it's kind of that. Emmanuel Sanders for the Denver Broncos just got a contract extension, which made sense because the Broncos had cut a few different players because of their salaries, a la Mark Sanchez, Ronnie Hillman, and Britton Colquitt, and they put together enough money to give him an extension, which is really important, I think, because he's a really good receiver. And I'm excited about it personally as a Broncos fan. And I'm excited to see what he can do. And I think he deserved to get paid. I'm excited he's going to be around for another 3 years beyond what he already was going to be here. And I'm glad that they did something with the money that they saved from cutting those guys. Because if they just cut Britton Colquitt, the punter, for someone that was cheaper just because, doesn't make a lot of sense. But when they used it to kind of lock in one of their primary offensive weapons, you know, it made sense. It was good. Do you have any other news right now?
No, that's the biggest news that I've seen.
So. Yeah, I mean, there was a big weekend in college football. We won't have a ton of time to go over it. You can already find all the results and stuff on, well, most websites that do sports. But I did want to, you know, kind of get your take, Evan, on Houston versus Oklahoma, because Houston is one of those teams that they're ranked pretty decently, but they're not a part of that Power 5 group. And they proved that they were the better than Oklahoma. But there's been kind of speculation, if they go undefeated this season, would they be put in the playoff? And some people will be like, yeah, absolutely. If they go undefeated the rest of the way, they should be in. And some people say, well, I mean, maybe they'll be in, but they probably won't because there'll probably be four teams that are from Power 5 conferences that are considered better than them.
Yeah, I'm not sure about kind of how I feel about the playoff. I don't think even if they went undefeated that they would be considered the better team than at least one of the other teams from the Power 5 conferences. Definitely was their night. I'll give them that. But I mean, you know, it looks like a team that's on the rise. It looks like a team that wants to maybe even try to get a better conference deal for itself. But as for the playoff, I don't think they'll quite make that cut. So
yeah, I don't know. They're a very good team, and I think that if they do go undefeated, they might be deserving of it. The problem that they're facing, though, is their strength of schedule, and it's just not very strong. I mean, they have this tough test in the first week against Oklahoma, but other than that, the main team that might you know, strengthen their schedule would be Louisville later on. And who knows if Louisville is going to be, you know, really good this year or not. Hard to say. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of where we'll leave that. If you guys have feedback, tweet us at USU Bullpen and let us know what you think about it.
Now it's time for the Wall of Shame. 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 Shame.
Shame.
Ding,
shame. 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 Shame.
Shame.
Shame. So diving into the Wall of Shame here, I just want to start out with giving our first entry today to Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And the reason why is because, you know, he's done, I used to like him a lot, but recently, in the last year, I've kind of started to like him less because of different things that he said. For example, I mean, after Cam's tirades after the Super Bowl, he was talking about how it was unfair that the losing team had to deal with the media. It's like, get over it. I mean, that's how life is. That's how people have done it for years. Just because Cam couldn't handle it very well that time doesn't mean that they should be exempt from doing it. I'm sure that he wouldn't feel like the Broncos would have to not... he wouldn't have said the same thing had they been on the winning end. And I think that it's kind of ridiculous. But he goes into the Wall of Shame because on multiple occasions over the summer, he has complained and bitched about having to play opening Thursday, which will be today by the time that this is available to people. He's complained about having to play opening week, and you haven't heard a single thing from the Broncos about complaining about it. They've had to play on the opening weekend like three times in the last 4 years or something like that. They play all the time, and yeah, it's a shorter week, and it kind of sucks, but I mean, just get over it. It's not going to change.
So why does he not want to? I mean, because of the quick turnaround from preseason?
Yeah, I mean, because last Saturday they had the deadline for making your roster cuts to cut it to 53 players. And so they have to do that and then sign some people back to practice squad and all that. And he said it was just really hard for them to like get everything done, and it was a really short time frame, which makes sense. But they've been doing it for a long time, and just because you got that draw this year, I mean, get over it. The Broncos, like I said, have done it a couple times over the last few years, and they haven't complained about it. In fact, the Broncos players are excited because they're going to be playing in front of everybody, the entire country, for the opening game, where they can kind of show off and show what they can do. So because he's bitching and complaining about having to play opening week on multiple occasions, I'm putting him in the Wall of Shame.
Jeez. You'd think you'd want to get your season started already.
Right? I mean, they get a huge break after that. I mean, from Thursday to next Sunday. It's a big break after that. Everyone else, they have a shorter week to prepare and everything. You had all summer, really, to game plan for the game. But then you have a longer time to game plan between that game and your next game than the team you're playing will. So, Ron Rivera, get over yourself.
Yeah. It's time to play football. So, yeah. So, kind of one of the Wall of Shame entries I'd like to add. We'll just start with the quickest one first. This, Minnesota Twins becoming the first team this year to be mathematically eliminated from any playoff hopes.
Before the Braves?
Yes, they now have, believe it or not, a worse record than our Braves. So
Braves, you better get on that. Get on that, Braves.
Seriously, it's by three games. But so I guess in a very shameful, sarcastic congratulations to the Minnesota Twins for being the first team mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. And the other one, also in the world of baseball, Pittsburgh Pirates going on an 8-game losing streak. Right at probably the most important time of the year when you don't want to be going on an 8-game losing streak. They finally won today against the Cardinals 4-3, but the damage has been done. With only a few weeks left, they are now 4.5 games out of a wild card spot, but they would have to be chasing San Francisco, St. Louis, and the New York Mets for any possibility. So, just kind of shame for tanking right when you should be doing the exact opposite. So that's shame in the world of baseball.
And Evan will be one to bring you more shame from baseball than I will, because he follows it a lot more closely than I do.
Got a hawk-like vision for shame in the baseball world.
Or something like that.
Something like that.
I've got a couple more entries in the Wall of Shame, and they're kind of similar instances, and so that's why we're grouping them the way that we are. Because obviously we have NFL, then we jump to baseball, now we're jumping to college football. And for anyone that was paying attention to college football this last weekend, which hopefully everyone was, because it was awesome. But there was a couple different instances where college football players lost their cool. And the first example I'll give was Jabari Ruffin. He's a linebacker for USC. He stomped on the crotch of Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama, who was a cornerback for Alabama, and that was after a kickoff return by USC, and it was completely deliberate, and it was ridiculously completely uncalled for. And the other one happened the same day earlier. LSU lineman Josh Boutte, Boutte, I think it's Boutte, but he totally leveled Dakota Dixon, who's a cornerback from Wisconsin, who picked off a pass, a bad pass by Harris from LSU, to seal the game and to secure the win for the Badgers. And it was completely obvious that the play was over. It was about 5 or 6 seconds after, they'd blown the whistle because he intercepted and fell to the ground, so you're down. And he was like celebrating with his team, and Josh Boutte just flat out leveled him. And he was down on the turf for a few minutes. Like, he got racked. I mean, he may have gotten a concussion from that. I haven't heard anything about that. But he absolutely destroyed him. And he was given a 1-game suspension for his actions by the team. And I don't know what the situation is for Jabari Ruffin, if he got a suspension or not. But the thing about it is, like, I don't think 1 game is enough of a suspension for that, because, like I said, Dakota Dixon was on the ground for a few minutes, like, just wasn't really moving or anything. He got leveled, and for that to happen on a non-football play is just absolutely out of control, ridiculous, beyond stupid. And for giving him just a 1-game suspension for that, I don't think it was enough. I know there was a podcast I was listening to. I don't remember who was doing it. It may have been, it was something on ESPN. And they were saying, I don't think that he should be able to come back this season, because that is something that, if you have to worry about that as an opposing team, like, that's ridiculous. And for that level of cheap shot, like, he shouldn't be able to play this year, because, I mean, that's not cool. That's not okay.
Yeah, plus it's like, you just got to take your mistakes. I mean, you just got to own it, I mean, if it was a bad play on your part, it just looks worse on you to lash out at someone like that. I mean, it's just like, it's the first weekend of the year. Just take your mistakes and move on. And I think that's part of the problem, is just some people just can't. I don't know, it just like hits a nerve with them. But you really should just take your losses, or even not necessarily game losses. I don't know, but just own it. Just own the mistake and move on.
And that's one thing that was frustrating about this whole situation, is because later on, Les Miles, the head coach, said that that Josh Boutte said that he thought the play was still going, which is complete bull, because it was completely obvious. If they were still going, why would someone not be trying to block him instead of just jumping around and celebrating?
Well, plus it's like if you're the fan and you can hear the ref's whistle ending, you know, I'm pretty sure you could hear it on the field.
Yeah, you should be able to, but I mean, honestly, sometimes you can't hear it when you're on the field just because you're kind of in the zone. But all the things around, you're smart enough to know that that play was over. Like, there's no way that you actually thought
that that play was over. If everybody stops moving, that might be a good indicator.
Yeah. So Jabari Ruffin and Josh Boutte, you guys go into the wall of shame.
Man, things are going so great. I don't even think they could be any better.
There's no way we can screw this up.
Not even us.
Or can we?
It's doomsday time.
Doomsday scenarios left and right.
Well, today's victims are the New England Patriots.
Ah, the Patriots. I think outside of Patriots fans, they are the least favorite team for every other group.
Yep.
I believe that is the case. That might be biased because I'm a Broncos fan and we have kind of a rivalry going on. But
I think across the board, a lot of us can agree that the Patriots and their deflated footballs deserve this treatment today. And in honor of the start of the new season, we're gonna take them for a spin. How about that?
We're gonna doom them.
Doom. Yeah.
Yes. And so the Patriots, as you probably know, are going to be without Tom Brady for the first four games because of
deflated balls.
Deflategate. Which, I mean, it was dumb that that was the reason. Whatever. I'm happy that Tom Brady's out because, as I mentioned, I'm not fond of the Patriots, and I really don't like Tom Brady. He's a very good player, though, and I actually have him in a couple of my fantasy leagues. But I don't like him, you know, personally.
But for fantasy, it's okay. This time it is purely personal.
For fantasy, it's okay. Though that might be pushing it. So the Patriots start out, the first four games, they are at the Cardinals, home against the Dolphins, home against the Texans, and home against the Bills. And I mean, it's going to be tough for them to win all four of those. I think they might even be surprised a little bit. Let's say that they go, you know, 1-3 in that stretch, lose a game that maybe they should win, and they just start out 1-3 without Tom Brady.
Who do you think they will lose to? Because you've got
the Cardinals. I think can beat them. Yeah. It's early enough in the season that the Cardinals should do well enough to beat them. I think that's realistic in my mind. The Dolphins the next week, I think, could surprise them, especially with Tom Brady being out. The Texans are good enough defensively that they might get that as well. And then the Bills, actually, let's just say they go 0-4.
Wow, okay.
Realistically, I think that they're going to go 2-2. But for the sake of doomsday, we're going to say 0-4. So then Tom Brady comes back against the Browns. And then falls up against the Bengals, Steelers, Bills again, Seahawks. Like, that's a rough stretch right there. And then they go against the 49ers, the Jets, the Rams, the Ravens. Not as tough of a stretch. Then they have to travel to Denver to take on the Broncos.
That's a loss.
Home against the Jets and away against the Dolphins. And for the sake of doomsday, we're going to say that they go, you know, through that stretch, let's say 11-1. I can't have them beating the Broncos. I'm sorry. I can't. Realistically, I think that the Broncos will beat them anyway, just because of how good their defense plays. And I think they should be gelled enough on offense to win anyway. But that's beside the point because we're doing a doomsday.
Yeah.
But let's say they almost run the table with Tom Brady. They end up going 11-5, get to the playoffs. They make it to the AFC Championship game where they go and play the Broncos again, and they lose. Because to me, how satisfying would it be for, you know, for all the Patriots fans to come out and be like, yeah, Tom Brady, like, showed how great he was, and that he had, like, an MVP caliber season after sitting for the first 4 weeks, and then they just like run through their opponents in the playoffs and get to the AFC Championship game and get shut down again by the Broncos. Because you know that that's the team that they hate to lose to the most at this point, because they've lost to them in the AFC Championship game two out of the last 3 years.
Which is why they have to be the team that they lose it all to again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what makes it so sweet.
And doomstastic. Doomtastic. Not doomstastic. Doomtastic.
Yeah. Just keep Brady away from the equipment room. Keep him away from the pigskins.
It was a dumb thing, whatever. I mean, he was breaking the rules. Did it warrant a 4-game suspension? Not really.
But does anybody else care that it was only that? No.
Not really. I mean, they all just wanted Patriots him fans. Gone. Yeah. And so we're going to say the Patriots just look really good for the entire time that Brady's playing, and Brady just does fantastic. And then we'll say in that AFC Championship game, after throwing for 5 touchdowns the previous 2 weeks, because we're going to say they have to play in the wild card round, just because they're at 11-5. And we'll say that someone else, two of their teams are 12-4. And so they end up being like the number 3 seed in the AFC. And he throws for 5 touchdowns the first 2 games and like 300 yards for both games. And then against the Broncos, he throws for less than 100 yards and no touchdowns and 3 picks.
Gee, ow.
And like, and the Broncos, of course, are going to be just like getting by opponents because their offense isn't great. And so they're barely getting by opponents. They're like, yeah, for sure this year we're going to beat the Broncos.
And so all the Patriots fans on social media will be just bragging it up.
Yeah.
Ahead of this. Because it's like they went, you know, for this scenario, like 1-3 or 0-4 when without Brady. Brady comes back, they do pretty amazing. So they're all going to be like, oh, yeah, we knew it. We knew that Brady will take us right back. So I think the level of brag will make it even more satisfying.
Yeah, because you know that's going to happen no matter what, because every Patriots fans just think that the Patriots walk on water. And I'm going to say that, you know, especially if they're in that situation where the Broncos are barely getting by opponents because they're relying on their defense because their offense isn't hacking it enough to get enough points on the board for them to, like, blow anyone out. And then the Patriots are just running over top of everybody and destroying them. And they're going back to play Denver in Denver again, and they're like, yeah, we're going to beat you this time.
And all the experts on, like, ESPN and
NFL Network and Fox.
Universally, they all predict that the Patriots win that one.
And win big.
Yeah.
And that they're gonna,
it's like universal.
They're going to destroy the Broncos. Kind of like they said with the Super Bowl last year. Everyone said that the Panthers were going to win no matter what. And, yeah, that didn't happen. And, like, I was just, the closer we got to it, the better I felt about it. And I knew that they were going to win going in. I mean, obviously, I mean, I didn't know but I felt pretty confident that they were going to win. And I think it'll be a similar thing here because we'll have them all being like, yeah, go. You know, the Patriots are just too dominant for this Denver team, and they're not going to be able to keep up. And then Denver's just going to shut them down, and Tom Brady's going to have the worst playoff game of his career, throwing for 75 yards and 3 interceptions and no touchdowns, and they get a nice goose egg on the board at the end of the game.
Plus, it's not like he gets injured, and they can make an excuse that he wasn't in the game.
Yeah, no, because
he's there for all 4 quarters losing like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, that would suck for Patriots fans if he got injured. But the doomsday is all about the building you up just to tear you down. Kind of like losing off a walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the ninth after pitching a perfect game up till that point.
And if there's even some slight hint that what we predict is a possibility, I just think that makes it, in some cases, a little bit better, a little bit funnier, a little bit...
the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that this would be hilarious. And if it happens, I would be completely happy because, A, that would mean the Broncos were going back to the Super Bowl, which I think they can do this year. I think a lot of people are down on them, but I think they can do it. We'll talk about that again a little bit later for our NFL part in about 10 minutes. But, yeah, I think that's pretty solid for our doomsday for today.
Ready or not, here comes the main event.
It's go time.
to start out our main event, we're going to be talking about college football and kind of previewing week two. Once again, we're not really going to review what happened last week too much, unless it pertains to this week. But starting out, we're going to just jump into the Mountain West and kind of give some predictions of what we think are going to happen this week. To start out, you got Wyoming taking on Nebraska. And Nebraska is 24.5-point favorites in this game. Evan, what do you think is going to happen?
I think Wyoming, coming off a really good week one against Northern Illinois, I think that's a boost for them, but I don't know, I can't really see them taking out Nebraska, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by Wyoming this last week. I think that they played a lot better than I anticipated. And Nebraska is kind of an up-and-down sort of team, and so I
don't know.
I mean, I have a hard time
it's still Nebraska,
trusting Nebraska, but at the same time, Wyoming's been really bad in the past, and it's hard to judge off of one game. Yeah. So I say that Nebraska wins this one by at least a couple scores.
Yeah, like I think there would be more room for upset if this was like Nebraska versus maybe a bigger team from a better conference or their own conference. But I don't know. I just can't see really Wyoming.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, I have noticed, I think Wyoming is changing their culture, and I think they will be a tough team in the future, but I don't know that it's going to be this year, so I have a hard time going with that. Moving on, Air Force is taking on Georgia State. They're 18-point favorites. And I'm going to go ahead and say that will be about accurate. They'll probably win by more.
Air Force has the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it just kind of... doesn't seem like much of a challenge here. Air Force...
Yeah.
Doing pretty good.
So, yeah, they're usually a pretty good team. Like, they beat us last year, obviously. Yeah. Moving on, we're going to jump to Utah State versus USC. So, our boys going to the Coliseum, and I will be there. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, I know what I would love to say about this is an Aggie win. I mean, that's what I want to say, and I would love it if USC took a confidence hit from last week. But
If they didn't, I'd be surprised. Yeah,
I want to say it really badly that USC wins this.
Realistically, USC probably wins this just because they've got so much talent. But at the same time, if you watched them last week, there needs to be a big improvement on the coaching because this team kind of gave up in the third quarter, and there was a lot of things that just were really coaching errors. It's not that they don't have the talent, but as I mentioned in the pregame show last week, is they don't really have that winning mindset and that winning culture right now. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, USC probably will win this game, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Utah State. They're 15.5-point underdogs in this, but I was pleasantly surprised by how well we ran the ball last week. Ran for over 400 yards on the night as a team, and USC really struggled against the run with Alabama. And granted, I know Alabama has, you know, some better athletes than we do, but we do have some good athletes, and I think that we usually play really well against bigger teams. You know, we haven't really been able to get the win yet, but for them, I think that we'll play them tough, and you know, we'll have a little bit of extra push on this game, and I think that we do win this one. I'm excited. I think that we can win. I think that there's a possibility. Smart money's probably still on USC, but I think that we can do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be a little bit of a homer and say that USC wins. Bold prediction. Yep. So, yeah. Moving on to Notre Dame against Nevada.
Jeez. I think it's kind of obvious that this will probably be a Notre Dame win, even with the loss to Texas. I think they're like, 20, 30-something point favorites going into this game at Nevada.
28 points.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I can't see how this doesn't go in Notre Dame's favor, even with its rough week one start. So.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that it was a rough week one start. Texas played really well, and Texas was a good team. And Notre Dame was still figuring out their quarterback situation. They've resolved it, obviously, with the performance of Kaiser, and he's going to be their starter going forward. And they're going to be a tough team to beat for most teams. So I think that they're going to win easily. They're going to win big. Nevada's an okay team, but they're not anywhere near as good as Notre Dame is. And that's, you know, coming from me, who's not a very big believer in Notre Dame for most things. But yeah, so I say, you know, Notre Dame runs away with that one easily. After that, we got Colorado State taking on University of Texas San Antonio. Colorado State, I say, wins this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably come out with a win, although I will say that the kind of the line on this game really only started out as about 10-point difference when they first came out with, you know, with the point spread. So
yeah, but that's actually a lot when you're talking about point spreads. Like, close point spreads are like 3, and that means it could go kind of either way, really. With 10 points, they're pretty much thinking that you're going to win by 2 scores, and they're testing people to see if they believe it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not. I don't think it. More than likely than not, it won't be a nail biter. But I don't know. Surprising. I mean, it's not necessarily maybe close point spread, but. Closer than I kind of would imagine them playing Texas San Antonio. But,
yeah. Anyway. Moving on, we're going to rapid fire through some of these because we're running out of time for our college preview. San Jose State against Portland State. San Jose State showed signs last year. Portland State could upset them, but I'm going to pick San Jose State. New Mexico State. New Mexico State is an absolute dumpster fire when it comes to football. So that's an easy win.
And we know that because we've seen them play here back in the old WAC days.
Yeah, so. Back when we were extremely terrible, they were extremely terrible as well, even maybe worse than us, and they haven't gotten any better. So, yeah, New Mexico wins that one easily. UCLA against UNLV. UNLV is typically pretty garbage, and UCLA is really good. They're a 26-point favorite. Easy win for them, I think.
Yeah.
Fresno State takes on Sacramento State. That one's a tough one. I'll just go with Fresno because they're a bigger school and they should win that one. But I wouldn't be surprised if they lost, if we're being honest. Boise State against Washington State. Now, going into the season, I had Washington State winning this one because I thought that they would sling the ball around. But since they lost to Eastern Washington last week, there's no way I can pick them anymore. So Boise State's going to win that one big. And I was really impressed by Boise State last week. They looked really good. That, granted, it was against kind of a weak team, but they looked really good. After that, we got San Diego State against Cal. And this one's going to be an interesting one. San Diego State is actually favored by 7 points. I have a hard time with this one. Last year, I would have said Cal for sure. I think there's a lot of questions as to what they're doing. They're 1-0, but they beat Hawaii, who's terrible.
In Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, in Australia.
I mean, just kind of a neat side note.
Yeah, so I'm going to just go ahead and say that I don't know. I think that Cal gets the win there. I think that they'll be able to do it. I don't think San Diego State's as good as everyone thinks that they are. They're going to be a good team, but I don't think they're as good as everyone thinks. And last up, we got Hawaii against University of Texas Martin. And, and you know, Hawaii should win this one, but I don't believe in them at all. So... But I mean, at the same time, UT Martin's gonna have to go to Hawaii, and that's a tough trip for anybody. So I'll give it to Hawaii. I'll say this is one that they can win. So that's kind of your Mountain West ones. Moving on to national stuff, another rapid fire thing. Louisville, I'm just gonna say them, and you pick which team you think. Louisville, Syracuse.
Louisville.
I agree. Central Michigan, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
I agree. Texas A&M, PV A&M.
Prairie View A&M?
Yeah.
That's a Texas A&M win.
I think that one's obvious. Georgia against Nichols.
Georgia.
Yeah, some obvious.
Pretty obvious.
Michigan and UCF, but that's not the regular UCF.
Central Florida.
No, that's not Central Florida. That's not their logo. Oh, yeah, okay. There was just a weird logo that was up there. Okay. That is the correct one. It was the Lamar logo from the next one was on the wrong thing.
Michigan will get that one again.
Yeah, Michigan should win that one. They looked pretty good last week. Granted, it was against Hawaii. Houston against Lamar.
I'm going to say Houston.
Yeah, this is a good I agree. Clemson, Troy.
Clemson.
Yeah. Florida State, Charleston Southern.
FSU.
Yep. Wisconsin, Akron.
Wisconsin.
Easy. Baylor, SMU.
Yeah, Baylor.
Alabama, Western Kentucky.
Oh, Alabama.
Yeah. Ohio State, Tulsa.
OSU.
Yeah. Ole Miss, Wofford.
Ole Miss.
Washington, Idaho.
Washington.
Miami, Florida. Florida Atlantic.
Going to give it to the U.
Yes. Yeah. Oklahoma, University of Louisiana, Monroe.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Texas, UTEP.
Texas.
TCU, Arkansas. This is the first one that you could actually, you know, debate about a little bit.
Just to break up the pattern, I'm just gonna throw it out there for Arkansas.
See, I think TCU will win. Arkansas is decent. They could win, but I think TCU will win at home. But yeah, that's the first one that you could actually consider a different option, I think.
Just to break out of the
Iowa State
versus Iowa. Iowa.
Yeah, I would agree. Iowa is an okay team.
Iowa State.
Iowa State is not very good at football. LSU, Jacksonville State.
I'm going to go with the Tigers.
Yeah. Tennessee, Virginia Tech.
Tennessee.
I'm going to say Virginia Tech because Tennessee was atrocious last week, almost losing to Appalachian State. And Virginia Tech usually is a decent team. I'm going to say that they upset them. And then Tennessee expectations come back to where they should be. Hmm. And last one, Oregon against Virginia.
I don't know.
Got to go with the Ducks and Eugene.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably Oregon.
Yeah.
Just haven't heard enough from Virginia. Not enough noise over there.
Yeah. And so now we're moving on into the NFL. I guess that made it it made it easy when they had all those crappy things. Like last week, there were a lot of good matchups.
This is not... This weekend, not so entertaining. Not so entertaining. I'm not going to lie. Great teams, but... not good matchups.
Yeah, it's very true. And so, moving on into the NFL, got a couple different things. I guess what we'll do, let's go through this first week and give our predictions, who wins what game. And then after that, we're going to talk about who we think is going to be the MVP at the end of the year and Rookie of the Year as well. And then we could also do Defensive Player of the Year. We'll do Defensive Player of the Year as well, though that one's kind of almost... easy to do. And then we'll say, maybe we'll do Coach of the Year, and we'll say who we think is going to be in the Super Bowl and who's going to win. So starting out, we got the Broncos and the Panthers taking each other on today, I guess, by the time you listen to this. We're recording it Wednesday night. You'll be listening to it on Thursday at the earliest. So it's going to be in Denver. Carolina is a 3-point favorite.
Because it's in Denver, I'm going to give it to the Broncos.
Yeah, home field advantage is huge, especially for Denver. But also on top of that, I'm blown away by the amount of disrespect that Denver has gotten. Like, even though they won the Super Bowl, it's like this, since they won the Super Bowl, it's like, oh, well, they won the Super Bowl. I mean, let's not really talk about that. Like, most teams after they win the Super Bowl are hyped up, right? But this year, it seems like they're almost trying to make people forget that Denver won. Because, you know, Denver didn't have a great offense last year. And they might have some struggles early on this year. They might not. We'll have to see. Because, you know, Trevor Siemian is going to be the starting quarterback in week one. We'll see if he stays there the whole season. I think Paxton Lynch will take over at some point. But I think that this offense is going to be better than people give it credit for. I think the team is going to be better. And the offense doesn't even have to do that much for them to have success. You look at last year, it was all on the defense. And the defense is bringing back 9 out of, you know, 11 starters. And they've got their most important players are still there. So, I mean, they lost Danny Trevathan, lost Malik Jackson. But those guys are both replaceable. Trevathan a little bit less replaceable than Malik Jackson. But, either way, like, all their superstars are still there. So I have a hard time understanding why people are so down on the Broncos, because it's not like they're in a worse situation than they were last year, and they won the Super Bowl. So I say the Broncos win. I think it'll be a close game. It'll come down to the defense, and I think Denver's just going to get the Panthers' offense out of rhythm, and I think that they win by 10 points. So that one will probably be the longest that I take time on, because I'm a Broncos fan, and that was just bugging me about people with disregarding them. And yeah, moving on to the next one. We got the Packers going to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. They are 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I still think the Packers are going to pull away with the win this week. Yeah. So
that's all you got?
I feel like I just feel like the Packers are just going to do what they normally do, and
yeah,
get a win in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. The thing about it is, I don't think a lot of people understand that Jackson's going to be a pretty good team this year, Jacksonville. They've got a lot of good players on offense that are, you know, now a year acclimated. I mean, Blake Bortles threw for, I think it was 3,700 yards last year, and maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was 4,000. Anyway, he had 37 touchdowns. He threw for a bunch of yards. He did a great job. And I think people kind of don't, like, disregard that or discount that because, you know, their team had a losing record. But they've got lots of signs of improvement. They've got a lot of good young receivers. They've got a good receiving tight end in Julius Thomas. They also, on defense, they have three guys who could potentially be defensive rookies of the year. Defensive rookie of the year. I mean... They somehow came out with Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack in the same draft, despite the fact that those are probably the two best players in the draft as far as pure talent goes. And they also have a player coming back, Dante Fowler, who was their first-round pick from last year, who just got injured in training camp and missed the entire year. So he's a rookie still. So they've got a lot of talent on there. I think it'll be a close game, but I do think that the Packers pull it out, because I think that the Jaguars are still young and still learning, so I don't think they'll be able to squeak out the win. Moving on, Ravens and Bills.
I think I'm going to give this one to Baltimore. I mean, it's supposed to be a close game, but... So...
you're really full of information right now.
I know, just trying to... sorry, I'm trying to
think, and it's not working. Yeah, I think this will be a close game as well. I think that it could go either way. For the sake of argument, I'm going to say the Bills win this one. I think the Ravens just need a game to get back in their groove. I think they will be a lot better than they were last year, because they got hammered with injuries last year. But I'm just going to pick the Bills, just for the sake of argument. In a close game. Texans hosting the Bears.
Ooh. I don't know if just my lack of faith in the Bears is enough for me to give them a loss this week. Because, I mean, I don't know. It is the Bears. But Houston, I think they're up and coming. I think they've got a good start for them. But I don't know, like, what do you think? Because I've got, mostly because I've just got no confidence in the Bears. I mean, if you really want, if you want to, like, what I'm thinking.
I also have no confidence in the Bears. They're not a very good team. They're going to struggle this year, I think. Especially without Adam Gase to help out Jay Cutler. I think he's going to revert back to some of his old things that he would do. I don't think that they're going to win a lot of games this year. I think the Texans will be a good team, about what they were last year. So I would definitely say that I think the Texans are going to win.
Well, especially like with defense for the Texans. Last year, pretty good defense at 45 sacks, which is a franchise record for them. So pretty good defensive team. I always like always like defense, but
yeah, for sure. So. Moving on, we got the Eagles hosting the Browns. And now this one, you know, asked me a week ago, I would have said, you know, the Eagles win that one easily. I still think that they're going to win, but I think it'll be a closer game just because of the growing pains of Carson Wentz. But like a week ago when Sam Bradford was the head quarterback over there in Philly, I had more confidence in it. They're still 4-point favorites. The Browns are still a dumpster fire.
But if it's that close against the Browns, though.
But they're our dumpster fire.
they're our dumpster fire.
No, I just thought about that. They're definitely not my dumpster fire. My dumpster fire was the offense last year for the Denver Broncos. What do you think? What's your pick? Or did you say?
Part of me wants to give it to the Browns just to see. Just yeah. to watch them get this one against the Eagles.
I mean, it could happen. The Eagles lost a lot of talent over the last couple of years. I think it'll be a kind of a rough year for them. But the same thing with the Browns. They just have a lot of holes on their team. So I have a hard time picking the Browns in any game. I think that they're going to be a team that ends up with only 2 or 3 wins this year. Maybe 4. But this could be one that they get, but I'm going to go with the Eagles. Moving on, the Falcons host the Buccaneers.
Falcons and Buccaneers.
I'm just going to jump in here and say I think the Buccaneers are going to win this one.
Really?
They showed lots of good signs last year. Jameis Winston did a really good job as a rookie quarterback. And the Falcons, I have a hard time trusting the Falcons anymore. it is going to be
just consistency thing with them.
Yeah, they're just not very consistent, and so I think that they're going to struggle in this game. They'll probably be pretty good next week or something. They're really inconsistent about how they're doing stuff, but I'm going to pick the Buccaneers to win this game. Evan is going to abstain from this one apparently because he can't think of anything to say. Just pick one.
I'm going to go with Atlanta just to mix things up.
Okay, and then next up, Titans hosting the Vikings.
I'm going to go for the Vikings on this one.
Yeah.
I think kind of I'd say they're a promising team. I mean, I don't think losing Teddy Bridgewater was in any way the end of the world. And I think picking up Sam Bradford was good for them. But I don't think they're a team that's so dependent on their quarterback that they can't still win. So, I don't know. I think I'm going to give it to the Vikings on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans on this one. I think that the Vikings will have a pretty good year, but Sean Hill will be the starter on this one. And despite what Adrian Peterson can do running the ball, I think that Tennessee is going to find a way to get a win, I think, in this one. I think it'll be a close game, but I'm going to pick the Titans. Moving on, we have the Jets hosting the Bengals. This one, to me, is an easy pick.
Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals have a really solid team. Yeah. They are going to have to replace their wide receiver core with the exception of, A.J. Green. But they lost a couple other receivers that were big key parts of it. But Andy Dalton showed he's grown a lot over the last few years. And he's a really good quarterback. And the Jets, I think, are taking a step back this year. They almost made it to the playoffs last year, but I don't think that they're as good this year.
Yeah, and I will say for the Bengals quarterback Dalton, before that injury that ended the rest of whatever season they had last year, he was in MVP talk as well. So I think it's to have him come back will be boost for them. So yeah, I think Bengals on this one.
Yeah, gonna rapid fire these ones a little bit because we're running lower on time. Gonna say Saints Raiders.
Raiders.
See, I'm torn on this one because I know the Raiders will be pretty decent this year, but I have a hard time picking against the Saints in New Orleans. I'm gonna say Drew Brees puts up a lot of stats. But I say that the Raiders, in the end, get the win as well. Chiefs against Chargers.
Chiefs, just because Chargers kind of the one team in the AFC West I don't know is going to be very competitive this year.
See, I think the Chargers will be pretty competitive. They are the worst team as far as talent goes in the AFC West. And Joey Bosa deciding to hold out for so long didn't help that. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. They could knock off the Broncos as the top in the AFC West this year. I'm personally still picking the Broncos to win the AFC West, but the Chiefs are right there with them. Dolphins travel to Seattle to take on the Seahawks.
Gee, that. I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I would agree. Seahawks are going to be really good. They're my team to beat in the NFC. Yeah. The Colts are hosting the Lions.
Ooh. I'm going to go with my gut and say the Lions start off right.
Yeah. See, I think that the Colts are going to just, Andrew Luck is just going to shred their defensive secondary. Like, I think he comes back with a vengeance after being injured for a lot of last year. He's got a lot of weapons at receiver. I think that the Colts win this one. Cowboys host the Giants.
I'm going to give it to the Giants.
Yeah, I will as well. I don't believe in the Cowboys as a whole. I know that their offensive line is the best in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott's going to get a lot of yards as a rookie. Dak Prescott showed a lot of things in the preseason. I don't think he's going to have as much success in the regular season. And I think that the Giants are a pretty solid team. But the Cowboys' defense is not very good. So I say that the Giants win as well. Patriots against the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday night.
Now, I know we had a doomsday where we kind of ripped into the first four games for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the Cardinals will probably win this one.
I think so as well. I don't expect Carson Palmer to be as good this year as he was for most of last year leading up to the end of the year. But I think he will be good enough to beat the Jimmy Garoppolo-led Patriots. If it was Tom Brady, I would say the Patriots win for sure. But I think Cardinals have so many good players on both sides of the ball that they should win that game despite not having the best performance by Carson Palmer this year, I think. Moving on to Monday night, they have a doubleheader. The first one, they have the Steelers traveling to Washington to take on the Redskins.
I think I'll give the Steelers this week.
I will as well, because I think the Steelers are going to be a really tough team offensively. They need to improve on the defensive side, which is funny to say because normally the Steelers are all about the defense and their offense is kind of the one that isn't as good. This one I think will be pretty close though, because Le'Veon Bell is suspended for the first four games. They're also going to be without Martavius Bryant, but I expect, you know, Ben Roethlisberger to sling it around the field and get a lot of yards and get some touchdowns and get them the win against a Redskins team who I think overachieved last year. But they're also, the Redskins are also in probably the weakest weakest division in the NFL. And the last game, the Rams take on the 49ers.
Jeez.
And before you make your prediction, I can't believe that they're doing this in San Francisco. Why would they not have it in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
The opening Monday night, the last game of the week, why would you not have it in LA? Now that you're back in LA, why would you not have it there?
I don't know. I don't particularly like either team. I'm probably going to give it to the 49ers because it's in San Francisco. I mean, I don't know. I'm not so sure about this one, but I'll give home team advantage this time around.
Yeah, to me, the 49ers are another team that's just an absolute dumpster fire. And the Rams are a decent team. Defensively, they've got a lot of good players. Offensively, they need to step it up, especially with the receivers. And I think Case Keenum will be the starter. I believe that's what it is. And whether he's starting or Goff, I think that the Rams find a way to win. I don't think it'll be pretty. This is kind of one of the matchups that isn't going to have a good team on either side, per se. But I think that the Rams win this one. I'm excited to see how they play. But that's kind of our predictions for this week. Looking at this season as a whole, who do you think is your MVP for the year?
Let me see. Who do I think will be really good? I'm going to go on a limb and say Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson?
As a quarterback.
I could see that. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I was thinking that the most logical option would be Aaron Rodgers. I would go with Tom Brady, but he's gone for 4 games, so I think that's going to take a hit on his chances. I think it's got to be a quarterback. I don't quite think it's going to be Ben Roethlisberger. And I was thinking Aaron Rodgers, but since Seattle is my team to beat in the NFC, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say Russell Wilson. So
sweet.
Russell Wilson, this is our nod to you, my friend.
This is where we're putting our money down.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
The problem is I'm not as familiar with the rookies as maybe you would be.
Well, so, I mean,
I don't know. Because you know this better than I do. And so the rookies, to me, are even more of a kind of a question mark. Problem is, I just don't know if I know the rookies enough to.
You can just say you don't know.
yeah, because I don't.
It's fine. We're running out of time here anyway, so I can't sit here and wait for you to try to figure out what you're going to do. I'm going to go and say Ezekiel Elliott is going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's going to be the starting running back behind the best offensive line. You know, the offensive line that helped DeMarco Murray get, I think it was 1,600 yards a couple years ago. He's going to be really good. I think that he'll probably get maybe around 1,300 or 1,400 yards. I think he's the Rookie of the Year easily because he's going to have the most touches out of rookies, and with the exception of quarterbacks, but I think that the rookie quarterbacks won't necessarily have the best year. They won't have as good of a year, as productive of a year as Ezekiel Elliott in my mind. On the defensive side, I'm not even going to wait for you to try to figure out if you have a prediction. You're supposed to look this up, Evan.
Well, I do have one for this one.
Oh, okay. You do have one. Okay. What is your prediction?
J.J. Watt.
For Rookie of the Year?
Oh, not Rookie of the Year. I thought we were on defensive.
Yeah, Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, Defensive Rookie of the Year. No.
Well, okay.
I thought you said, like, defensive.
So we'll get to Defensive Player of the Year in a second. So now Defensive Rookie of the Year. Defensive
Rookie.
I'm going to go and say it's going to be Jalen Ramsey, who's rookie cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's one of the three guys on that team. I think it'll be him. He's probably the best talent, you know, pound for pound, that came out of the draft this year. And he somehow slipped to the Jags, and they picked him and then got Miles Jack, and they also have Dante Fowler coming back. They have three young rookies that are all going to make big impacts, I think, on that defense. And I'm going to say that Jalen Ramsey is the Defensive Rookie of the Year. Now we'll jump to Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year.
And this one, as I mentioned earlier, I think it's a pretty easy choice. And you already said it.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt. I think that's a pretty easy one to predict because he's gotten to like the last 3 years or something. He's a great defensive player. Really messes up defenses. But I'm not going to go with him because it's, just a little bit of variety. He probably will win it, but my prediction is going to be that Von Miller gets it. I think that he is able to do what he did in the playoffs for the entire year and just, destroy offenses all year. And I think it's going to happen, so that's my prediction for Defensive Player of the Year. Coach of the Year. Have you thought about that one at all?
Nah.
Not really.
let me hear you first, and then we can.
Yeah, I'm gonna. It's gonna be whichever team we think is gonna overachieve. I think. For me, I'm gonna go and say that Pete Carroll will get it because I think that the Seahawks will. I think that they'll end up somewhere around 13-3, 14-2. I think they'll give it to him because there'll be a bit an improvement over last year. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Pete Carroll.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree on that one when I think about coaches out there. So
Definitely I think the best coach in the league is Bill Belichick, which I don't like to admit because I don't like Bill Belichick. I don't like the Patriots. But he's a very good coach. But I don't think that he'll get Coach of the Year.
Because Coach of the Year is more like takes also into account like best improved.
I think so. Right? Yeah, yeah, I think so. I guess now we'll make our Super Bowl predictions. Who are we going to take from each conference? Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
You go first because I got to figure out the NFC. All
right. I'm going to say the Broncos and the Seahawks are going to be a rematch of a few years ago that did not go very well for anyone who cheered for the Broncos or wanted a decent game. It was an ugly game, but the teams are a lot different now. More of the Broncos are a lot different. The Seahawks have kept their core mostly intact, but the Broncos have shifted from an offensive focus to a defensive focus, and so I think that those two teams meet at the end of the year. Again, maybe this is partially because I'm a homer for the Broncos, but looking at it logically, I see it happening again. It'll be tough. They might not make it. I could easily see the Patriots getting in there. And maybe a couple other teams. And then the Seahawks, I think that they're going to be the best team in the NFC this year. I think Russell Wilson is going to have a great year. The defense is going to be good as well. And so I think that's a rematch of Super Bowl 48. And I'm going to say the Broncos win. They get some revenge for that other Super Bowl loss. I think it'll be, you know, a good game. It'll be pretty even, and I think it'll be a close scoring one for, yeah.
Okay.
For this one. What do you think?
I think for my pick in the AFC, just for kind of debate's sake, I'm going to say the Patriots. I know. And then for the NFC, I'm going to say Carolina comes back.
If you're just tuning in, Evan is about to die.
The final words. I think the Patriots. I think the Patriots will have to go through the Broncos, probably in the AFC Championship. I do see them playing again, but I just think maybe slight edge to the Patriots just for debate's sake. But then I don't know. I've got a feeling about Carolina. I think they could come back and
yeah. I know Carolina, in my mind, is going to be a decent team this year. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. I think they're going to take a step back because I think teams are going to defensively bottle up that Carolina offense better than they did last year because they've had a year to look at that. So I'm thinking that Carolina takes a step back this year. So I think they'll still make the playoffs, but I don't think that they'll win. I don't think they'll get to the Super Bowl. But who do you have winning the Super Bowl in that situation?
In that situation, probably Patriots.
Yeah, I can see that.
Of the two teams, I
mean. Imagine the tantrums of Cam Newton after that one.
It's too straight. I would almost love a Bills, like, four straight situation, and he just can't do it.
That'd be funny.
Just how pissed he gets, like,
yeah,
just goes up over time. But
that'd be funny. But anyway, that's our podcast for today. I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to give us feedback or just want to say hi or whatever, just send us, tweet at us at USU Bullpen. You can also tweet us individually. I'm at Ethan Chadwick 15, and then we got at Evan Hall 62. And so, yeah, if you got anything that you want us to share, any disagreements you have with our arguments.
If you're connected to the rhythm of the night.
This is the rhythm of the night. Yeah, so if you got any feedback and you just want to hit us up or whatever, just tweet us at USC Bullpen, at Ethan Chadwick 15, or at Evan Hall 62. But thanks again for listening, and have a good one.